Federal investigators have told banks to search through private customer transactions for terms such as MAGA and Trump. It's said to be part of the government's investigation of the January 6, 2021 Capitol riot, but it's raising new concerns from lawmakers about both privacy and government targeting. Chief Washington correspondent Mike Emanuel has details tonight. Good evening, Mike.
Brett, good evening. The House Judiciary Committee says it has evidence the federal government essentially profiled people of interest in its investigation of the January 6th Capitol riot. In documents obtained from the Treasury Department, federal investigators pressed banks to snoop on customer transactions. Some keywords the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network recommended banks search to find, quote, extremism indicators, Trump, MAGA, Bass Pro Shops, Cabela's, and Dick's Sporting Goods. The committee says banks were encouraged to search for small arms and sporting and recreational goods and supplies at Dick's, Cabela's, and Bass Pro Shops. Chairman Jim Jordan sent a letter to FBI Director Christopher Wray Wednesday expressing concern, quote, such a sweeping characterization of political beliefs and constitutionally protected speech as indicators of domestic violent extremism is reminiscent of how the FBI similarly characterized traditional Catholics as potential terrorists. Jordan argues the federal government was snooping on American citizens without legal process.
All right, Sandy Rios with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. That's a report from Brett Baer and then Mike Emanuel from Fox News. Now, that's not new news. You've heard that. That's not a new clip. But the twist is this. Now it looks as though the banks are doing this on their own. They don't have to have the federal government asking them to look. They're looking on their own. And Bank of America is center stage today in our discussion. All of you will want to listen to this show because you all bank, don't you? And this is kind of where we're going, and this is why we have to stop it. So this is a really great discussion with the auditor from the Commonwealth of Kentucky. She's an incredible young woman, and you won't be sorry that you listened. And this is something that you'll want to take action on. But you can call us at 662-821-2040. 2040 662-821-2040. You can send us an email at sandy@afr.net, sandy@afr.net. Most of you know, but some of you don't, at podcast. You find them on podcast platforms. That's easy for those of you who are accustomed to it. But if you're not, go to afr.net. That's our home base. That's American Family Radio. And you can find the podcast, Sandy Rios, 24/7. You can go to my website, sandyrios.com. That's very simple, too, and listen to the show without fretting. You know, as the headlines read time and time again, pop stars will dedicate proceeds from their concerts to abortion. Well, it's time to flip the script and fire back. Let's go on the offense and save these babies. Preborn is leading the charge in the battle for life. Their network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, often right next to Planned Parenthood. Every day, they welcome 200 babies whose lives have been rescued from the clutches of death. By introducing a mother to her child on ultrasound, a baby's chance of life doubles. Mothers and babies are showered with God's love and assistance for up to 2 years. Can we, the pro-life community, rock out for life this year? Every time you see a celebrity donating to death, we can respond by donating to life. When they shout abortion, we shout life. One ultrasound is just $28. If you would like to help us save the lives of these babies and many, many times the lives of the moms too, not physically, but spiritually, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. All right, well, it's time to pay attention to where you're banking, and we're going to give the information you need to make great decisions on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line.
Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
Right. If you bought so much as a hot dog with a credit card or a debit card from Bank of America on January 5th, January 6th, or January 7th in Washington, D.C. of 2021, they put you on a list and gave it to the FBI. But they enhanced that list by data mining the private records of their customers to see anybody who's bought a firearm. And that wasn't geofenced or limited by date. And that's very disturbing to us because that information comes from an FBI whistleblower. He's a supervisory intelligence analyst. It was corroborated by his boss, who's the special agent in charge of the Boston field office at the FBI. So we've got two whistleblowers telling us that this is going on and there's no legal process. And let me be clear here, Will, this isn't the FBI going to Bank of America and saying, we have 12 suspects and we've got a warrant. We want you to look at their data. Bank of America, according to this FBI whistleblower, was generating lists of suspects on their own and giving them to the FBI without a legal process.
Well, that was a familiar voice of Thomas Massie, and he is a congressman from Kentucky, and Kentucky will be central to our discussion this morning. But for any of you that use Bank of America, heads up, ears up, these are things you may not know. As a matter of fact, when I was preparing for this, I was Googling. Yeah, trying to find out about this story, a little bit more about this, because I know from other sources, and guess what? I couldn't find it in a Google search. So some of you will have no knowledge of this conversation, so take out your pencil and paper, and let's talk. Let me just start by saying a group of 15 financial officers representing 13 different states have issued a warning to the Bank of America over its alleged practices of politicized debanking, targeting conservatives. And with that, let me introduce our guest. Her name is Allison Ball. She is the Auditor of Public Accounts for the Great Commonwealth of Kentucky. Thank you, Allison, so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on, Sandy. It's great to be here.
Allison, I was just reading about you. You were also the Kentucky State Treasurer, and you were the first first constitutional officer in Kentucky to give birth while serving in office. That's pretty cool. I mean, You weren't actually at work that day, were you?
You know, it's funny, when I talk about that, I often say I was the first to give birth in office, but not actually inside the office.
Yeah, okay. Okay, good. Well, now that we got that settled, I would be curious, how in the world did you get interested in numbers? I mean, numbers is what you do, auditing numbers. Why is that a passion for you?
So, you know, that's a great question. It's not really numbers, it's more money. That's what I really care about, protecting taxpayer dollars, making sure we're good stewards. And there are a lot of reasons why I'm interested in that. You know, I'm a lawyer by background. I'm 9 generations from the mountains of eastern Kentucky, and I practiced law back home for a while. And I started to practice bankruptcy law and do some work in that area. And so I've really had a mindset about money. And through the course of some events, I ended up running for office. I ran for treasurer. I served 2 terms as treasurer. And that's, you know, a natural place to go if you care about protecting taxpayer dollars and being a good steward. I did a lot of work on financial literacy. And then from there, it's also a natural fit to go to the auditor's office, which is about making sure that you are stewarding that well. So there's sort of that frontline role as a treasurer, making sure payments are made the way they're supposed to be. And then the auditor, you know, really digs into the books and makes sure that you're doing the right thing when it comes to money, but also there's a just compliance with the law aspect of that. So it's great work. I love doing it. I feel like it got open doors for me to be where I'm at and use particular skill set that I have. But the core of it really is being good with taxpayer dollars, being good stewards of your finances, and that really is what guides me.
Allison, as you're talking, I mean, I can't help but think, oh, how we need someone like you in Congress, and so I hope that's on your sights. Because nobody can count here, and they certainly don't know how to save taxpayer dollars. But all right, so we're going to talk today.
Thank you.
Yeah, so Bank of America has come, you know, there are other corporate interests in banks who are doing similar things. But Bank of America has kind of, you know, like been the star in this whole business of debanking conservatives. And I'm just curious, how did the Bank of America, and I'm going to call it malfeasance, we'll lay the case here, how did it come to your attention? How did it first come to your attention? their actions?
So, you know, that's a great question. So I did a lot of work as treasurer pushing back against the ESG movement. So I really have a lot of, you know, on the ground info about banks and financial investment institutions. So that's an area that I live in all the time. And I started to hear stories about things that were happening in the banking world. And then, of course, Bank of America ended up just sort of rising to the top of the list of problems. And they're not unique. They're not the only ones doing this. But Bank of America is doing it to a really high extent. And it's a great example to tell people, like, look, you need to be aware of this. This is a serious problem. And we need to be doing what we can to stop this because it's not something that should happen in America. And you've already touched on what it was. But one thing that's a problem that Bank of America has been doing is they've really been targeting Christians, and in particular Christian businesses and sometimes even Christian individuals, and they've been debanking them. And sometimes it's also political speech. Two things that should be, you know, really worrying to any American, that you might not be able to have a bank account because of you're running a nonprofit Christian organization, or you are a Christian who's very outspoken, or you're involved in the political world. It's not unique to Bank of America, but Bank of America has been probably the most egregious, and they are, you know, a way to highlight what's going on to make sure this is stopped.
Yes, I'm going to go right to this just because John Eastman is a friend. He's been on the show many, many times. And John was debanked. Now, this happened a few months ago, and he's just now speaking out about it. I also, by the way, to all of you who use USAA, they've shut down his accounts. And John Eastman, of course, was President Trump's attorney who appeared on January 7th on that stage. There's a lot more to say about him, but this is the kind of thing they are doing. But Allison, for just a second, I have a really short clip of Brian Moynihan, who's the CEO of Bank of America, they call themselves, Bank of America, and it gives you an idea of the scope of their work and their reach. This is Brian Moynihan, clip one.
So what about the consumer? Because you have some pretty good visibility into people's deposits and their credit card spending. Is it doing better? Is it doing worse? Is it the same?
Well, if you look in the spending data for our consumers, you have to put a little bit in historical context. So at Bank of America, we have the honor of serving, you know, 60 million U.S. consumers, and we see what goes in and out of their accounts on a daily, weekly, monthly basis.
Okay, that's all I wanted to hear from that. They have 60 million U.S. accounts, and they can see everything we spend and how we're spending our money, and they certainly are watching. So, Allison, do you know right offhand which bank is the largest? Bank of America must be close to the top, wouldn't you think?
They're one of the top. They're one of the big five. I think JPMorgan Chase actually might be a little bit bigger. Both of them have been kind of delving into this debanking way of operating. So for all of the banks, they've all been kind of tapping into this some, and we need to be really aware of it, and we need to make sure we're speaking out against it. We need to make sure that it's stopping. And I think that you're right to even point out it's Bank of America. You know, we think we stand for certain things that we believe in America, and freedom of speech, a freedom to be able to exercise your religious beliefs. So it's even more disappointing to have somebody that calls himself the Bank of America behaving this way.
Ah, yes, and of course they use the red, white, and blue. They've got tons of people deceived. I have reasons why my head went up them a long time ago, but I won't go into that. Let's just say there's a problem at Bank of America. But let's make the case. It's one thing to say it, but Allison, what are you talking about when you say they're debanking Christians or Christian ministries? Give us an example.
Yes, I can give you some great examples. So there's a particular organization called Indigenous Advanced Ministries. It's a Christian organization. I think they're located in Tennessee, and their main role, what they do as a ministry is to help children, mostly orphan children in Uganda. So great cause. Everybody should be behind that, helping orphan children in Uganda. They also do work to get children and women out of sex trafficking. No one should have a problem with this organization. This is great work. This is, massively helpful to people of Uganda. We should all be behind that. And at some point in the last few months, they were told that their Bank of America account was being closed. So they began to ask some questions like, why is this happening? What's going on? And they really didn't get good answers. But the answer they got, the most clear answer they got, was that Bank of America decided not to do business with their business type any longer. And I think that's a terrifying phrase. You know, you are a business type that we don't want to do work with. We don't want to, protect your money and help you do with your investments. And what is their business type? It's purely Christian ministry, to the least of these children in Uganda, people that are getting out of sex trafficking. It's not limited to just this particular organization. There's a bank in Tennessee that's a church that's a big funder. So they had a bank account also with Bank of America. They were a big source of income for this particular ministry. And this church also had their bank account closed by Bank of America. There's another organization called Timothy II Project, and they train pastors in about 65 countries around the world. Another thing that everybody should be excited about and pleased with, they had their bank account closed by Bank of America. And when they asked why, they were told that the bank they no longer wanted to do business with their business type. So that business type category is, you know, extremely alarming for me. What is their business type? It's a ministry. It's a Christian ministry, helping orphans, helping pastors, helping people getting out of sex trafficking. It's not limited to just organizations. Like, that's bad enough as it is. It's not limited to that. We have a situation with a man named Lance Wallnau, who's a Christian author, and he's a speaker, and he's a podcaster. And his bank account at Bank of America was also closed. And when he made inquiries, they gave some vague answers about it being money laundering. So it's like they were really searching for a reason. They couldn't say business type anymore. He's not really a business type. He's a person doing things that they just didn't appreciate. And what they came up with is, well, we think you're into money laundering. And that kind of interaction. John Eastman is another great example. That's another individual. This time it's not a Christian ministry. It's a person who's involved in the political world, very, very well known about his involvement with President Trump. And he was told that his account was being closed. And he asked why, and they didn't give a good reason. They just said that it was compliant with their depository agreement. So they're just saying, hey, we're not doing anything wrong. We're allowed to debank you, and we're just going to close your account because we just don't want to do business with you anymore. And, of course, it wasn't limited to that. I think his account with USAA, like you mentioned earlier, was also debanked. So, you know, it's bad enough if they're closing down Christian ministries. It's bad enough if they're going after business types, but it's not limited to that. It's also individuals who are doing things that are in line with ministry, in line with their political beliefs.
Well, I have a statement from B of A, because, you know, nothing you're saying is true, Allison, because they say, given the large number of nonprofits we serve that are affiliated with religious organizations, it's absurd to think that religious beliefs are a factor in any account closing decision. That's from a Bank of America spokesperson. So are we assuming because they're Christian, or could we be wrong?
You know, and that's a great question. And you want to be fair. You want to, like, give somebody the benefit of the doubt when they're giving explanations. Their explanation is, you're a business type. So what does that mean? And we do have to infer a little bit by what they mean by business type. But we know what type of business it is. They're nonprofit Christian ministries. I've given you an instance of an actual church. So, you know, they can say, hey, it's not about their religious exercise. It's not about their political speech. And they really need to do more to be able to be persuasive on that, because when you actually press them, they say, well, you're a business type we don't like.
Oh, you know, the first time I ever heard of something like this happening, Allison, was during the Obama years. And this first came to my attention on gun shops and gun owners. Remember how the banks would close down their accounts, freeze their assets? This happened with one gun owner, went on like about, I don't know, I'm guessing from my memory, two to 3 years. He had no access to his business assets. And they did that. I don't know if that was banks or if that was government. Do you know?
You know, so I think what you're referring to is that there were a number of banks that were starting to close down accounts of businesses that dealt in firearms. And that's been a recurring issue, too. So it ties in very closely with Christian ministries or people involved with certain political speech. So we have instances of that as well. That's not been the subject of what we've been dealing with right now, because we've been trying to be really, really clear about this is speech, this is free exercise of religion.
Okay.
But there are definitely instances of people that own gun shops that are gun operators, and they've been told, hey, we don't actually want to do business with you anymore. And even Bank of America has dabbled in that, because as you mentioned a little bit about the March 6th testimony that was given in Congress before that subcommittee, and Bank of America was a major player in all that. And one of the things that they did is they voluntarily turned over the financial records of anyone who had ever bought a firearm. So that, you know, the main emphasis of that particular testimony was when they were trying to find people who had made purchases between, I think, January 5th and January 7th, trying to identify certain individual people. Well, they just turned over the records of anybody who'd ever bought a firearm using a credit card from Bank of America. So, you know, there are a lot of red flags that are, you know, behaviors going on here. And they touch a lot of things that we really do care about as Americans. And it's entirely outside of the realm of a bank.
Yeah, and to just emphasize what you said and what, Congressman Massey said, is this, it's common for us now to think it's the FBI doing it, it's the government doing it. But from it seems from all accounts that in the case of Bank of America, they're volunteering. I guess the issue, we just don't know if the government's calling them and asking them to do it. It doesn't seem like it. It's like they're just handing this information over. And is there any statute being broken doing that, Allison? Or can businesses just betray the private financial records of their clients without any kind of statute being broken?
So, you know, this behavior is so shocking, and it's so outside of anything that would have been expected of any bank 10, 15, 20 years ago, that those of us who are in different positions who deal with this are now trying to figure out, you know, what do you do in these instances? How do you handle this? So you're right. Some of this was just voluntarily shared, and that probably does violate certain agreements with the individual people who have those accounts. But the question is there anything bigger than that? Are there laws against this? And I think in some instances there are laws, and AGs are working on this, treasurers, auditors. We're all trying to figure out, okay, what is the best way to redress the situation? Step one right now is making it very, very public, making sure that the public is aware of it, because they are in a business, and businesses respond to PR. If you get bad PR, you know, you hope that they will make adjustments on what they're doing. So there's that as a step, but I do think that there are potential lawsuits out there that could happen from a variety of subjects. And then if they actually are operating at the behest of government, and we've seen some instances of that. You know, you've seen that a lot in the social media world where we think that they were doing things at the request of the government. When you start to do that, well, then you're becoming an agent of the government. And then you may be subject to constitutional restrictions if you actually are an agent of the government. You're like the government acting, and the government can't violate your First Amendment rights, your Second Amendment rights, and so on and so forth. So it really, we're going to have to get into the details of this to figure out what is the best way to redress this, what is the best way to respond. But step one is transparency, making sure everybody knows what is going on.
Yeah, and I would say as a consumer, there are other banks.
Yeah.
I know it's a pain in the neck to change banks, but in this case, I think people should seriously consider that. But we're not even finished. I want to lay some more groundwork here because you point out that they belong to this Net Zero Climate Alliance. Let me just interject that I've been talking about this. I just did a whole show on the Dutch and European farmers and the net zero, the harm to the farmers, and that's happening in the U.S. as well. And Bank of America has joined this. It's an international group. I don't quite understand what they're doing, Allison. Can you help me understand how a bank is part of that and what that means? What it means to how they conduct business?
Sure. Yeah. So that is definitely an outgrowth of the ESG movement, which we've seen a lot of investments, and that is, you know, environmental, social, and governance investing. And once upon a time, investments were all about making sure you got good returns. That's usually what people think that they're about now. You know, you invest to earn money. For a pension system, you invest to make sure that you have money when you retire. And this ESG movement, which has become really big in the last few years, has come from a very left-wing, very progressive movement to say, hey, investment should not really be about returns. It should be about getting certain societal results. So all of them have been left-wing, very much focused on the environmental side, very much trying to push out the energy sector from coal and oil and gas, targeting that. And then there's the S and the G, which also is basically rewarding and punishing companies based upon certain societal outcomes that they want to see. So it's actually a very dangerous movement. It has a lot of power. It's using money to reward and punish businesses based upon certain things that they want to see as an outcome. So this Net Zero Banking Alliance is totally an outgrowth of that. It's been limited mostly to the investment world. Now they're starting to do it in the banking world, which also touches on investments. You know, banks do investing. They're all aligned together. It's all kind of commingled in their business purpose. So what's really worrying about them getting involved in this net zero banking, because the idea of that is environmental. It's a focus on environmental, trying to get the world to a position where you're at a certain point, a certain goal environmentally, and it really would revolve around eliminating the coal industry, eliminating the oil and gas industry, doing things that would be really harmful to just people all over the world. And the worrying thing about this is there, if a bank is involved in net zero banking, it could lead to closing people's bank accounts because they're not doing enough to benefit the environment. You know, if they are a coal company, well, they need to be punished for being a coal company. They need to no longer be a coal company or else they're not going to get financing. So, you know, this is all, it's all steps together, very similar, using investments, using money, using bank accounts to reward and punish people based upon their behaviors.
Wow, that's pretty scary. You know, we saw that in Canada. Oh my goodness, that was so frightening. Allison, when banks started shutting down the accounts of these truckers and their families so they couldn't pay their mortgage, they couldn't buy food, I mean, it was frightening. Can you comment on that? Is that the kind of thing we're looking at here?
Yes, I think that's a good window of what's to come. Like that's what happens when you start doing an aggressive debanking program. And again, it's not debanking because you're engaged in criminal activity, which, you know, that has its own issues. You're not out there. You're not a part of the mafia. You're not engaged in sex trafficking. You know, those are entirely different categories. This is debanking someone because you're a business type we don't like. Whether you are a Christian ministry or you're a coal company, you're a business type we don't like. Or even worse, you're an individual who's behaving in ways that we don't like. You know, perhaps you're a Christian minister. You have a podcast. You're a writer. You work for President Trump. You know, all these different factors. These should never be categories for you not being able to get a bank account. And it's entirely un-American. It's entirely outside of the realm of banking. We want banks to just be banks. Just do your job. Just be a bank. You know, provide a place for people to put their money that is safe and secure. They can withdraw it. They can do what they need to do. But it should never be a source of punishment or rewards based upon what you're engaged in and what you believe.
One last thing about them before we talk about what you guys are actually doing to fight back. I tended to it, but we haven't really talked about it. You say that they have a poor viewpoint diversity rating. I never heard at this point of that particular measurement. I heard of the other side, Human Rights Campaign, you know, having a measurement for gay, transgender friendly corporations. But who's doing this rating? Poor viewpoint diversity rating.
Right. So this is an answer. This is a way to have transparency and accountability. And this is one of the things that we're pushing for as financial officers, because we want to know what you're actually doing. And the goal really is viewpoint neutrality. You know, don't be conservative or liberal, progressive or whatever. Just be viewpoint neutral. Be a business. And I would encourage all these large banks, these big five banks, I would encourage them really look at figuring out how to show that you are viewpoint neutral. And the Human Rights Campaign, which you've mentioned, they've done this for progressive purposes. You know, they will rate you on how engaged are you in progressive efforts. This is not really engaging you on conservative or liberal. It's not saying like, hey, we want you to be more conservative. That's what we're pushing for. We're saying we want you to be viewpoint neutral. And this is just a way to gauge people. It's just an accountability measure. A number of these banks have not really engaged in this. Some that have, and their ratings have not been very good. But this is a tremendous way for transparency, and it's a great way for accountability. We're not pushing you to go one way or the other. We're just saying we would prefer you to be viewpoint neutral. And Alliance Defending Freedom is the one who actually developed a viewpoint neutrality index. It doesn't mean that you have to use them or they're the only one. I know that there are others who are trying to engage in this type of way to have information, but they're probably the first one, and it's a team of lawyers, so they're really, really careful about making sure they do this in the right way. And the purpose behind it is transparency and accountability. We're not pushing you to go one way or another. We would prefer you to be viewpoint neutral, just be a bank. And this allows the public to know, do we want to put our money into your account? Do we want to use your services? I think there are many, many, many Americans. I would even go so far as to say there's a majority of Americans who would prefer you to be viewpoint neutral. They don't want you rewarding and punishing people based upon what their beliefs are, their business types, or their involvements politically. So I think this is consistent with what the public wants.
Yes, and you think about this would carry over, this concept that they're practicing would carry over to utilities. to gyms, to grocery stores, to where we do commerce, to where we get our hair done. You can't go there. You can't buy here because you have the wrong thinking. You know, my hairdresser might, you know, decide to drop me from her list because I'm conservative. This is the mindset. This is where we're heading, and that's why we have to stop it. Now, 15 financial officers, 13 states. You've issued a warning to Bank of America. Okay, the hard question, Allison, are there any teeth to this? Are you guys in a position to actually do something to turn this around?
So I would say yes, and I would say it also depends on what's happening. So a lot of these things are done through steps in various realms. So if you're a treasurer, you deal with investments. If you're an auditor, you deal with compliance. If you're an AG, then you deal in lawsuits and just making sure there's accountability in those areas. So all of these groups are targeting different things to make sure that what's happening, what's wrong, is being redressed. So some of it, step one, is transparency, making sure the public knows what's going on, making sure these institutions know, like, hey, we're concerned about this. We really think you need to take a step back and be more aligned with American values. Step one is just putting some pressure that way. And I would like to see these banks just pull back, and perhaps they will. We've seen that in the ESG movement. We have seen institutions actually start to pull back as they've gotten pressure in these areas. So number one, transparency, accountability, making sure the public is aware, push back. We're encouraging using an index so that way there is more accountability. I think this is a great way for these businesses to show, like, look, this is what we're actually doing, so the public knows. Just more accountability in that area. And then in time, you know, there are laws that can be instituted. There are certain compliance. I mean, banks in particular receive a lot of benefits from the government, and that creates some ties. We have some instances where we think they're actually acting at the behest of the government. And when they're doing things like that, then you're raising constitutional issues, and then you can sue. So there are multiple steps. And there's also lawsuits from the private sector. There's potential fraud aspects of instances I think the AGs can get involved in. So it's big. This is a big world with a lot of players, but you're just now starting to see those who believe in conservative principles, who believe in limited government, who believe in the rights of individuals, who are starting to step in their particular spheres and begin to push back to make sure that everybody's operating the way that they should.
I could see a class action lawsuit, you know, get the word out about what they're doing. Yeah, and so hit them where it hurts, where they really will listen, and that's in their pocketbook. So Allison Paul, it's just a delight to talk to you. She's the Auditor of Public Accounts for the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Did we leave anything out, Allison, anything that we can do to help?
Thank you. I think we've done a pretty good job, and I really do think this is a new issue that people aren't that aware of. The public has become much more aware of ESG. But now they need to be aware of debanking because it is totally an outgrowth of ESG. And so I would just encourage people, be aware of this, spread the word on this, because this kind of behavior operates in the dark. It operates well in the dark. So we want to shine light on it to make sure that this is stopped.
One thing I can do is put this article from Fox. Fox is actually covering this. Thank God for Fox. I think Daily Signal, maybe Daily Caller, a couple of them have, but not enough, Daily Caller. State financial officers put Bank of America on notice for allegedly debanking conservatives. That's a Fox News story. We'll put it on our Facebook page. And Allison is quoted in there. She does a great job. So, Allison Ball, it's great to meet you, honestly, and I hope that we can talk again. And if there's anything we can do to help, please let me know.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to talk with you, and thank you for spreading the word.
My duty and pleasure. Thank you, Allison. Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Abortions performed by Planned Parenthood were among the top leading causes of death in America, revealing the terrifying truth of the left's anti-life agenda. According to Planned Parenthood's 2022-23 annual report, abortions performed by the organization accounted for the top 4 leading causes of death. Think about that. Paid for by our tax dollars. And honestly, this freight train is going down the track so fast and so powerfully. It's really hard. It's going to be hard for us to stop this. And I think one of the best ways, I've said before, I'll say again, is preborn. Preborn, who was not part of the government, not part of the public debate or campaigns, but an organization that's simply providing ultrasounds for moms who are pregnant and doubting whether they should carry the baby to allow them to see their baby through ultrasound. It's an amazing process, and it actually works. When the moms see their babies, I think it doubles the chance that they will not take the life of their baby. You know, you can't beat those odds. If you'd like to help, $28 pays for one ultrasound, just one, and you can send however much you can afford. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and I miss you in the mornings. But now I'm hosting a podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, which is available at AFR.net and SandyRios.com. Well, I finally finished that book. God's Velvet Hammer chronicles God's call in my life from a small town girl to Berlin, Germany, Radio Moscow to North Korea to Washington, D.C. I talk about Sasha Girl. It was my disabled daughter. I talk about I Got the Music in Me. That's a chapter on my music life. Lost in India and Other Adventures is hilarious. You won't want to miss it. I talk about my sweetheart, The Blessing of Bruce. And then a mysterious chapter called My Green Face and the End of It All. Oh, I think you'll enjoy it. Like the Apostle Paul, these are my shipwrecks and my adventures. All for Christ and His kingdom. God's Velvet Hammer is available wherever books are sold. And remember, Sandy Rios 24/7 is available at AFR.net and SandyRios.com.
Bank of America is accused of debanking certain conservative customers because of their religious or political views. 15 attorneys general writing a letter obtained by Fox News Digital that says in part, quote, your discriminatory behavior is a serious threat to free speech and religious freedom, is potentially illegal, and is causing political and regulatory backlash. Indiana AG Todd Rakita signed the letter, joins me now with Steve Curtis, who is the founder of the Timothy II Project International. Thanks to the both of you for being here. Steve, that organization I just mentioned exists solely to train pastors who otherwise would not have access to becoming a pastor. Seems like a beautiful, innocuous organization that nobody should have a problem with. But walk us through what Bank of America did to your accounts.
Sure. Thanks. Good morning, Todd. Well, you're exactly right. That's why we exist, and to help these pastors be able to tell people about the gospel of grace, the forgiveness of sin, and everlasting life available to all who place faith in Christ. We think that's an incredibly important task, but even for people who are plumbers or lawyers or missionaries like us, there are certain legitimate expectations you have. When you turn on a light switch, you expect the lights to come on because you paid the bill. And when you swipe a credit card or put a debit card in an ATM, you expect it to be processed because that's the arrangement you have with the bank. And in late 2020, Bank of America told us they weren't going to do that anymore. We received a letter, and the letter said we had 21 days. They were going to restrict the account, and in 30 days, it was going to be completely closed. We had people all over the world. I was in Asia. I'm in Thailand right now. We travel a lot, and we need these cards in the field. And so it had the potential to be very disruptive for us. And they gave no reason other than to say that they have chosen, that we were engaged in a type of business that they had chosen not to service. And when I called and tried to get them to explain that to us, they said, there's nothing else we can say. And I said, what if I go into a branch? They said, we'll give them this number. And there's still nothing that we can tell you. And so we don't know anything as to the why.
All right, that was the report. The specifics of what happened to Timothy II Project International when Bank of America canceled them, to just debanked them. Shocking, but true. This is what's happening. I've asked Bruce to join us, my sweetheart, former FBI agent, former prosecutor at Cook County, that's Chicago. Honey, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, all right. You take it, because I know you got lots to say.
Wow, is my reaction. Wow.
Yeah.
The irony of Bank of America having that name.
Bank of America.
Yeah.
America.
What do they mean by business type? What do they mean by extremism?
Mm-hmm.
The government using private business to do what they cannot do because of the Constitution, mm-hmm. violating our First Amendment, our Second Amendment, our Fourth Amendment. This thing, if it gets hold and takes hold and really takes off, we could have a big, big problem here. Anyone who wants to, who decides what is okay to be bought with a credit card? Is a gun okay? What about junk food? Are the foodies eventually going to say, no, no, you can't buy that candy bar because that's bad for your health? Are they going to say, you can't buy that air conditioner because it emits carbon dioxide? Yeah. You can't do that. I mean, where will it stop? And I also think about the problems that we are starting to see with the fiduciary duties being violated by these corporate officers. You know, it's like what our guest talked about. When you invest your money, you are investing your money thinking the people handling it are going to get the best return they can. Well, if they start going off on all these pet projects and deleting things that are good money makers and putting the money into social projects of theirs, that's not giving you the best return on your money.
No, it's really, Bruce, you know, you and I were in Canada recently visiting our kids, and we tried to use our credit card, and it was declined because that particular company is fussy about that. We didn't let them know we were going to Canada. And it was thank goodness we had another credit card, but think about that. Yeah. Think about that. That's what we're talking about. And no, you can't, we're not going to let you use it. You're cut off.
Yeah. Think about that. If you want to control somebody, you control their money and you control their food source.
And their health.
And their health care.
Yeah.
And this potentially could encompass all of that.
Yeah.
How are you going to pay a doctor? You're out of town and you have something happen to you and you have $200 cash on you and they say, well, the bill's $1,000. Give me my money. There's just so many scenarios that this can bite you in. Think about what we were told about what the government is doing, defining extremism as the word Trump, the word MAGA, various sporting goods stores. Can you imagine if a report came out that the government was mining emails for the words Muslim or Ramadan or Allah, and that those people were then being targeted for having their funds cut off, things like that? There would be such an uproar from the left, it would deafen you. But because it's Trump people, because it's the right, you just have to be quiet and suck it up.
Well, we are more law-abiding people. We respect rules and order. And also, we're busy raising our families. You know, we have responsibilities. We're working. And so that's the reason the right, that's one of the reasons why the right is not more vocal. We're not looking for trouble. We want to do what our founders promised, gave the vision for in the preamble, was to be able to be free to live life and have liberty and pursue happiness. Those were the things that were important to them because they knew what it was like having come from England and other repressive countries under the monarchy of King George, what it was like not to live your own life, make your own decisions, to be punished by government, thrown into debtor's prison. So that's why the foundation for them saying life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, your own free will to go on a vacation, to buy a new car, to spend your money the way you see fit. And this is what we're losing. And I just I want to draw a line in the sand here. And if you are a customer of Bank of America, I just can't say enough how important I think it is that you look for another bank. I just think it's very, very important. All right. Well, listen, this is, more good news today. But look, we're just fighting, right? Well, we still can. We're trying to do what's right and draw these lines. And I would encourage you, I said to my personal friends yesterday, We'll know when it's time to stop fighting. We'll know when we can't fight anymore. I think of, this reminds me a great deal of the prophecies of Revelations, where many of us won't be able to buy or sell because we won't have the mark of the beast. And the mark of the beast, who knows? Might be a credit card since it says 666. Who knows? But you can see glimpses of it now, can't you? And we also know that, there'll be a time in Scripture when things are getting really bad, and the Bible says, flee to the hills, run. There'll be a time when we can't do anything, but we're not there yet. So while we can do something, we need to do something. Say something, all right? So thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.